You already are a masterpiece in God's sight. Amen. Brother Jeff, you already are an overcomer. And I know you may look at your life and say, well, I don't see it sometimes in my life. It doesn't matter how we feel about it. God says this is who you are. Now, what we've got to do is we've got to understand this is what God says about me, so I've got to start thinking the way God thinks about me, thinking that way about myself. How many of you know where we get down on ourselves a lot? As Christians now, will anybody please be honest with me this morning? We all get down on ourselves, even as Christians. And we beat ourselves up over and over again, and then we just give the devil ammunition just to come and just, and we'll say, oh, I'm good for nothing. The devil's just sitting on his shoulder. That's right, you are good for nothing. And boy, you're just speaking stuff in your life, and he's just agreeing right there with you. But if you'll start speaking what God says about you, that you are an overcomer, amen, that you are a masterpiece, that you are an ambassador, then your attitude will change toward things. And this morning, what I want to finish up with this series on is this. You are two other things. And I'm going to put these together because they go together. You are salt. You are the salt of the earth, and you are the light of the world. We've got a lizard crawling around up here if you guys see me looking around. If he gets by you, we'll just know revival broke out right over there. Amen. Praise the Lord. Ladies are going, woo! Look out. Now start dancing and stuff. Amen. Praise the Lord. But anyway, you are salt and you are light. Praise God. You are. If you're a Christian, you are the salt of the earth. Jesus said it. You are the light of the world. And I know you look at yourself and say, Brother Mike, if you only knew some of the stuff I've been going through. Well, you know, it doesn't matter. You know, there's only two reasons if your light's not shining. It's only two reasons. One is you're hiding it. Number two is the devil's blown it out. Remember that? Who remembers a little chorus about this little light of mine? This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. Oh, come on. Give me some more. I need some in there. Hide it under a bushel. I'm going to let it shine. Still weak. Hide it under a bushel. I'm going to let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. You guys are just not into this at all. You feel old. Oh, my goodness. This time, I want you to stand up and go, no! Okay, I want to hear it like you're cheering for Alabama or Auburn. I want to rock this building. Amen. If we can do it for Alabama, Auburn, or Tennessee, whoever you pull for, then we can do it for God. Hide it under a bushel. Come on now, that's what I'm talking about. Give me a little fist pump with that thing. Hide it under a bushel. I'm going to let it shine. Well, hide it under a bushel. I'm going to let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Not going to let the devil blow it out. I'm going to let it shine. Not going to let the devil blow it out. I'm going to let it shine. Started speaking in tongues there, I think, for a second. Not going to let the devil blow it out. I'm going to let it shine. Everybody goes, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Amen. Give yourselves a hand. Amen. Woo! Now, didn't that just feel better? Come on, don't you just feel a little refreshed now? No, come on now. I was screaming. I'm not going to get into tomorrow, yesterday. But, let's not quench the spirit, right? Praise God. Talking about being salt, we're talking about being light, okay? And we've got to be that to this world. What does that mean? It means we've got to be a light in a dark world, amen? How many knows there's darkness in this world? There's sin, there's drugs, there's alcohol, there's all kind of immorality going on and things, but it's all in this world, okay? And sometimes... I almost stepped on him, didn't I? He just don't know how close to meeting Jesus he is. But anyway, we are salt. We are light, okay? God has called us to be that. Praise God. Hang on, you're about to shout there in just a second. But look, it's a dark world out there, amen? People need some hope. And it's not just the righteous, not the righteous people that are needing help. What did Jesus say? It's not the sick that need a doctor. I'm just going to have to take care of you, buddy. Uh-oh. Oh. Sorry. All right. He probably won't come back out now. I think I pulled half his tail off. But they grow back, right? Good. Praise God. All right. Anyway, that's the first time that's ever happened. I've swatted bees, but I haven't chased a lizard yet. But anyway, get back to the message. Here we go, for real. So let me just share the scripture with you. Jesus said this. He says, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. He says, I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Amen? Because there's some people that were thought they're righteous. I'm good. And so Jesus just looked at them and said, even knowing that they weren't right where they needed to be, Jesus says, well, you know what? It's not the righteous who need a physician. It's not the righteous who need a doctor. It's not those who are healthy, or at least think they're healthy, but it's those who know they're sick, those that know they're not where they need to be with God, those that will really respond to God. And so that's who we're letting our light shine out to, and our salt season them. And so there's a scripture we're basing this on. If you're taking notes, it's real simple. You are the salt of the earth, and you are the light of the world. But here's the scripture that goes with it. You are the salt of the earth, Jesus said. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. Let me just share a little bit about the context of that. You know, one thing is this. Salt back in the day, back in that culture, was very valuable because, of course, the refrigeration systems and things like that. So salt was used to preserve and things like that. Very valuable. Matter of fact, you've probably heard the statement before, that person's not worth their what? Their weight in salt or whatever. What are they saying? They're saying that salt has a lot of worth, okay? And that's where that phrase we get. Well, that person's not worth their salt, because they used to actually pay each other and use that as a means of trading and what have you and things like that. But also, as I was researching this, the salt that was, you know, just been used and couldn't be used for anything else, they would just throw it out along the area, like the marble flooring there, so that when, you know, it got wet, no, it was kind of like something you could catch on, where, you know, you could have some traction. And Jesus said, guess what? If you lose your saltiness, if you lose your seasoning, all you're good for is be trampled by men, just thrown out, and really you're just serving no purpose. If you lose that, saltiness, if you lose that seasoning that you had in your life, what does that mean? It means if you lose your desire for God, it means if you lose that passion just to be that light to other people around you when you're working. Do you think about that? Do you even think about that when you're at work? When you're going to a store, are you thinking about, is there any way that my life can influence this person today? Are you open to the fact that maybe God wants to speak something to you and through you to maybe say to that person in that checkout line, that cashier, someone you work with, just whatever? Are you still open to that? Okay? But if you've lost that, what's happened is you're losing that saltiness. And Jesus said, once you've lost it, it's no good. You just throw it out there. In other words, if you start living like the world lives, okay, you start doing what the world's doing, then, hey, you've lost it. You've lost your saltiness. You've lost your worth. And the Lord doesn't want that to happen, because you are the salt of the earth. Everybody say, I am the salt of the earth. Say, I am the light of the world. Okay, if you like to take notes, this is in your notes here about some things that salt does. First of all, salt preserves. We've already hit on that just a little bit. But if you're a Christian, you're a divine preserver, okay? Helping people to find eternal life and to live forever with God in heaven. Amen. You can look at it another way. You're like a life preserver. Amen. If a ship's going down, praise God, you're the one throwing out the life preserver and said, there is hope, there is help. Because I tell you, there's a lot of people around you, and you don't even realize it. Church, you don't. We don't. You may think someone around you's got everything together, and before you know it, you hear they're in a divorce, or you hear that, they've got a sick child at home, or you hear that they're suicidal later on. You just don't know. People can put on a mask. And that's why you got to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. That when the Holy Spirit tells you something, you may look at someone and say, God, I don't see anything wrong with them. I don't see anything. They look like everything's okay. But if God says say something or do something or just whatever, then you need to do it, because God knows what's going on in your heart. Right. How many of you ever had that happen? You thought you knew someone. You thought just everything was going great. Then you found out later things weren't as great as you thought. I'm telling you, it happens all around you every day. And they've got to know that there's life. There's a life preserver. And that's what we are. It's like they may be drowning. If you can just imagine yourself out in the ocean and everywhere you turn, you know, you don't see any land whatsoever, you know, that'd be an awful feeling. Because you're thinking about sharks, you're thinking all these things that could get you. But then, man, if you see a sail or some kind of an object coming across that water, you're thinking, ah, there's hope. Please, please find me, get me. And I'm telling you, that's what we are. We're that boat. We're that sail. We're that one in the water that is trying to get to that person and say, here's a life preserver. Now, we can't make them take it, praise God. But I tell you, when people get in a situation where they know they need help, they're willing to take and hold on to that life preserver. Amen? They'll do it. And that's what we are. Salt preserves. And that's one of the things that we should do as Christians. We are like a light preserver. Another thing salt does is it purifies. Let's face it. We live in an impure world. My Lord, you can't even watch television, Harley. I mean, now you can't even watch the commercials, Harley, today. And you can't hardly, you know, just the things that are out there in the world, it's just everywhere. If you want it, it is there at your fingertips. And let me just say something, guys. If you're into that, man, you need to get away from it. I'm talking about pornography, okay? Because I know if you're a guy, you're tempted in that area, okay? And you need to be careful because if you got internet, it's just one click away, all right? And you've got to have some accountability in your life. You need to do something to get away from that stuff because it will just, there's nothing good that comes out of that. Nothing good. We live in an impure world, and it's going to be thrown in your face every single day. Every single day. What you need to be praying if you're married is, God, give me a greater passion and love for my wife. Amen. Let all my passion, God, be toward my wife, the one you have put in my heart. Amen. That's a prayer that I pray. I do for Teresa. I said, God, let all the passion I have, Lord, let it be toward my wife, the one you blessed me with, the one that really loves me, that truly loves me. And I know she does. I have no doubt that Teresa loves me. And I hope she has no doubt that I love her. But I'm saying that's what, and we've got to be careful because there's impurity in the world, guys. And I don't hit on this much, but I feel like sometimes every now and then just need to throw that out there because I guarantee it's out there. And you know it. I know it. And guys are attracted by sight. Women are emotional. We can't figure them out. I tell you. Still, I don't care how long you get married, been married. You won't figure it out. You will not figure them out. You will not. Don't try. All right? Just accept them and love them and praise God. And because they say they can't figure us out either. They think we think like they do. And we think they should be thinking like we do. And it just don't work that way. Oh, I just had a thought, man. I don't even know to go there. I'm not going there. Lord. Oh, man, that was tough. Oh, no, I'll tell you. If you want to ask me later, I'll tell you later. Anyway. Okay. All right, next thing salt does. Salt makes you thirsty. Amen? You know, now I'm not saying this out of experience. But I've heard that when you go to bars, they serve you salty chips and peanuts. They're free. But what do they want to get you to do? They want you to buy more drinks, okay? Because salt makes you thirsty. And that's really what we should be doing as Christians. There should be something in our lives that makes people thirsty around us for what we have. Amen? Amen. And if it's going around like whining and complaining and woe is me and gloom, despair, agony on me for all you old timers. Thank you, bro. Whoa, you remember that? The guy stood up in a thing. That was, guys, this back in the day. It was good. But anyway, sometimes we walk around like that. You know, there's no way you can be salt and light, make people thirsty that way. You're thinking, man, if anything, they're saying, let me get away from this person. They just depress me. So we do. We need to make people thirsty. God's love in our hearts, you know, should just create that divine thirst in people's lives. They should see us, you know, they should see a joy in us. And I'm not saying you got to always be happy. Don't just fake it. You know, sometimes we fake it. We think we got to fake it. We got to think everything's hunky-dory. But no, sometimes people need to see you go through something and see how you deal with it. Because how you deal with it may be the very thing that attracts them to what you have. You hear what I'm saying? They know you're going through a trial. They know you're going through a hardship. But then they see how you handle it. They see you still have some joy. You still have some hope. And that's what makes it real to them. You know, because if we try to make it look like we're always perfect, we've always got it all together, we've always got joy, you know, which we always do have the joy of the Lord, but if we think we've got to put on that some kind of facade, we're making it impossible for people to even think that we're for real. How can a person be like that? And I guarantee there's not a person in this room that doesn't have hardships and go through stuff. And we all do. Just because you're a Christian, I love the sign, Brother Charles. What does it say? It says faith, with faith, all things are possible, but not easy. Amen. With faith, all things are possible, but not easy. And that's what it is. And people need to see even that in us when we go through trials and go through hardships. They need to see how in the world are you going to deal with that. And they need to see us allow the Lord to help us with that and see us overcome that. And that's what's going to be an attraction. It's going to make them thirsty for what you have. Another thing that salt does, it melts. How many knows? Of course, we don't experience it much in the South. But when it snows and there's ice on the ground, what do? They start salting the bridges and they start salting the roads and all that kind of stuff. Why? Because it melts the ice. All right? And that's really, as a Christian, that salt's what it is. It melts. No, our lives, let it just melt the hearts of those people around us. You know, just maybe you've got someone around you that's just hard-hearted. Anybody ever know someone like that? I mean, they're just so hard and crusty. It's like, man, they're so dry, and it's like they're so hardened about things. You think, man, how in the world am I ever going to reach that person for Christ? You know, maybe God's put them on your heart, and you're trying to reach out to them. But, man, it's like you're not. It's like hitting your head up against a brick wall. But I'm telling you, you just keep pouring on the salt. Amen. Just start to melt. And finally, at some point, I guarantee if you can keep it up and you keep praying for that person and God puts on your heart, at some point something's going to happen and they're going to see something in your life and they're going to start to question you about, well, what is this? Tell me about, you know, God. Tell me about, how do you deal with something like this? You know, and you just begin to melt those hard hearts around you. So it takes time for some people, but salt, it melts. And that's what the love of God and the warmth of the love of God can melt the heart of those cold hearts. And then one more thing I just want to hit on here is salt heals. Amen. Salt heals. How many of you have ever gone to the ocean and you had a cut? All right. And you get out in that water and it what? It burns. But what's going on? There's really healing going on right there. You know, you can be mosquito bitten and go out there and you may be going, ha! Oh, you know, at first, but man, you're getting healed. You may look funny, but you're getting healed. But I'm telling you, salt has a healing factor in it that just is just purifying, that it brings healing to something. That's really, again, that's what we are. We are God's healing agent in this world. Everybody say it again. I am the salt of the earth. All right, the next thing Jesus said is this. All right, I've already hit on these. I didn't give you these, but let me run through those real quick. The next thing he says, what? You are what? You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. That's what it's all about. Bringing praise to our Father in heaven. And in a Palestinian home, usually they would only have like one window in the home. And of course, you know, when the lights and the sun went down, you know, they had to have that candle they would put in there that would just light the house. They wouldn't put it under the bed or under any kind of a bowl or anything. They would have to light it, put it on the stand so it would light up the whole house. I mean, you know, the lights of powers went out in your house before. What'd you have to do? Light candles, right? Had to put one in the bathroom for sure. Amen. You got to have one in the bathroom. Got to have one in the kitchen. If you got to, you know, in the dark kitchen, it's dark at night. You got to get that refrigerator, you know, just open it real quick and shut it and, you know, get something out of there. Amen. Come on. I'm real. I do the same thing. But the lights go out. You got to put in there where you can see what you're doing. I mean, sometimes you even have to put a night light out. If you don't know your house or your wife's rearranged the furniture, you know, when you was gone or something and you get up and you kick your toe on something and praise God, everybody's awake then. Amen. I'm hoping you're saying, praise you, Jesus. Amen. Lord, that felt good. Praise God. But that's not, you know, thank you. Help me. You really get spiritual. You'll start speaking in tongues. Yeah. But anyway, you got to let your light shine. That's what Jesus said. Let your light shine. You're the salt of the earth, and we need salt because we live in an impure world. Okay? And it purifies. We are the light of the world because we live in a dark world. Okay? When you know who you are, we talked about this, when you know who you are, you'll know what it is you're supposed to do. You are an ambassador. You are an overcomer. You are God's masterpiece, and you are the light and the salt of the world. Praise God. And listen, because you're a light, you don't run from darkness. You shine in it. You're a change agent for God. Hear what I just said? Do you hear what I just said? You don't run from the darkness. You shine in the darkness. You shine in it. You may look at yourself and say, Brother Mike, I don't feel like I'm like that. I don't feel like salt or whatever. It doesn't matter. If you're a Christian, that's who you are. You may not be living up to that right now for whatever reason, but that's who you are, and that's who God means for you to be. Praise the Lord. We got to let your light shine. Let me give you an example in the Bible. Acts chapter 16, this is a story where Paul and Silas, two men of God who had been going out, they had been changed, transformed by the power of God, just like we have. God got a hold of them, got in their hearts, and they got saved, and they went around. God called them to start going preaching the gospel. And they were going around, and on several occasions they were arrested. Several occasions they were arrested and at times beaten. And this was one of those occasions. They had been captured or they had been arrested, and then they literally stripped their clothes off of them. That's what the Bible says. They stripped their clothes off of them. Can you imagine? And beat them because they were sharing the gospel. Now that's very, that would just be very embarrassing, wouldn't it? Let's face it. If you go to work and you start talking to someone about Jesus and everybody gathers around and starts ripping your clothes off and beating you, that would be kind of embarrassing. All right? I mean, just right there out in public. But that's what happened. And then they threw them, then they put them in jail. They put them in the inner cell, the Bible says, down there where there's no light at all shining, and put them in stocks. In other words, in those chains. Their legs and everything was in stocks, and they were just right there. And so what did they do? Gloom, despair. No, they didn't do that. The Bible says about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And others, prisoners, were listening to them. They were listening to them. You know what? They didn't get together and say, hey, there's non-believers around here, so we just need to make like everything's going all right. We just need to make it up, even though we don't feel like it. I know we're hurting, but I don't believe it was like that at all. I believe they were just so in love with Jesus, so loving God, so fired up for God, that they just couldn't help but just begin to sing and just begin to praise the Lord, even in spite of, because they knew, Lord, it's because of you that we're here. It's because of you, God, for your name's sake. And they just begin to sing. And they didn't have to work it up. They didn't have to, say, let's have a meeting and try to, there's some unbelievers here, and let's try to just make it look like everything's okay. They were just being who they were. They were just being who they were. How many knows that the moon in and of itself does not shine, right? If you didn't know, of course, if you're young, you would look at the moon and you would think, the moon is shining, okay? But what does the moon do? It reflects what? The sun, and that's why we can see it. The moon reflects, is the reflection of the sun, and that's what we are, the S-O-N. The reflection of the sun. We're like the moon, but we're just reflecting his light. And it just does it naturally. It just does it naturally. Okay? And that's what I'm saying. We as Christians, when we're saved, you don't have to work it up. You shouldn't have to work it up. It should just flow naturally because that's who you are. You hear what I'm saying? You can't help but just be the light and be the salt of the earth because that's who you are. You just can't help when you get around people and someone says something, goes, oh, that's all right. Come on, work it out. Or just showing that Christian out. You can't help it. It just happens. It's natural. It should be. Come on now. So that's what we do. We reflect the Son, Jesus Christ. We reflect the Son, Jesus Christ. The two reasons, I've already given you this already, but there's two reasons why if your light's not shining, it's because either, again, you're hiding it or Satan's blowing it out. But listen, let's go into this scripture here. It says about here this time, suddenly there was such a violent earthquake. This is why they're singing and praising the Lord. There was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and at once all the prison doors flew open, and everybody's Everybody's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself. We are all here. We are all here." Now, why would the prison guard say, "I'm just start to kill himself"? Because in that culture, if the prisoner got loose, they was going to kill him. He was responsible. And if they got the prisoners got loose, he knew his life was over. His life was over. But Paul and Silas, you know, here's something interesting. They didn't take off. You ever thought about that? You ever read that story and thought, why don't they just take off? The doors are open. Chains are off. Let's get out of here. They didn't take off. And here's my point. And here's the point I want to make to you. When you're in darkness and there's darkness all around you, the first thing we as Christians want to do is take off. Oh, he's got a tattoo. Get away from me. Oh, look, he's drinking. Oh, look, he's doing drugs. Oh, look, he's doing this. Get away. Oh, I can't be around that. Oh, my goodness. And we take off. You hear what I'm saying? He didn't say to run from darkness. He said to shine in the darkness. Amen? Come on, I just ran around the building. Give me a little bit more than that. Come on. Praise God. He said, don't run from it, and they didn't run. They said, hey, don't hurt yourself. Don't hurt yourself. We're all still here. Praise God, because you know what? I think this could be, and I believe this is the very reason God allowed this to happen, because God knew a man was going to get saved. And sometimes you don't know why God allows you to go through things, but you need to be looking. There may be somebody around you that needs, God wants to save. Somebody, he's trying to get somebody's attention, and maybe he's put you in some circumstance and allow you in some circumstance and say, maybe my child will just trust me. Maybe my child will just keep praising me even though he's in the midst of a storm, and that's going to be the witness to that person I'm trying to reach through my son or through my child, whether it's you as a child or daughter of God. God wants to use you. He uses your good things and the bad things you go through. Praise God. So just because you're in the world, all right, I'm saying you're in the world, and Jeffrey, I want you to get ready. You're in the world, but you don't have to be of the world. Okay? You're in the world. Go ahead, Jeffrey. Go ahead and get ready. That's your cue. You're in the world, but you're not of the world. In other words, we live in a dark world. It doesn't mean we have to live like the world does. Amen? Tell you what, Jeffrey, let's pull this table up here so you can kind of use the table right here. Because I want everyone to be able to see this. Now, some of you may have already saw this when we was at the kids' crusade. Some of you didn't. And Jeffrey's going to illustrate that for me. You know, Jeffrey and Angela are part of the Master's Hands team that went through the course this past time. And Jeffrey today is just going to share a little bit on this thought. And so, Jeffrey, I just want you to kind of share about that we're in the world, but we're not of the world. That we can be in the world, but not necessarily have to be affected and do what the world does.
All right, can y'all hear me? All right, I'm reading from John 17:14-16. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. And do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Talking about Jesus. All right. This water is going to represent the world. And the sand represents us. All right. I'm going to have to put this mic down too. All right. So I'm going to put the sand that represents us and the world.
So again, the water and the glass represents the world. The sand represents us.
Right. All right. Now the world is going on, things of the world. But my point being is we don't need to partake of the world. We don't need to do the things that the world tells us to do. You can't see, I know y'all, it's hard to see, but as the world is turning, so are we. But the thing is if we was to, I'm gonna drop this. All right. So, if we Lord help me. Okay. I lost the train of thought.
You're saying we're in the world. We don't have to be of the world. And the world doesn't have to connect to us. We don't have to let the world rub off on us. We can still be in the world, but not have to partake of what the world does and let it influence us. That's what you meant to say, right?
That's what I meant to say. All right. No matter what goes on in the world, we shouldn't become a part of it. We should overcome the temptations of the world. And like this saying, you know, it's getting stirred up in the world, whatnot, but it's not becoming a part of the water of the world. And, you know, whenever God comes back, whatnot, and we stay like we're supposed to be Christians, then we'll stay the same. If I can get this. Sorry, this thing. We'll come up dry. That bastard might. But like the sands are the salt, you know, you put it in the world, that doesn't mean you got to partake of the things of this world. You know, you're a light, you know, you want to be a light, you know, as a Christian. And you know, the world, it has a lot of darkness in it, and it has a lot of sin. And you know, we want to keep repenting. And you know, you want to, you know, be a light to the world. You know, you want to, when you go out here and you go to work and whatnot, you don't want to just work. Your job is to be saved and to share with others the world, you know, the gospel. I mean, this word right here. You know, if you don't get that point across, then there's no point in being here. That being my point, you know, stay saved and, you know, live for God.
Thank you, Jeffrey. Amen. You got it? All right. Praise the Lord. Appreciate that. That was part of his master's hands requirement. Amen. So you get a little taste of what you do. But let's get back to the scripture, okay? Here these guys, they were in the world, but they didn't run. They could have escaped, but they didn't run from it. They didn't run when they had a chance to run. They stayed there and let their light shine. They told that jailer, we are still here. We didn't run. We're still here. Don't kill yourself. It goes on to say, don't kill yourselves. And this next thing here is this, because when you're salt and light and you're living that, your salt and light living changes lives. It changes lives. It really does. Look at this. It says, the jailer called for lights, rushed in and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. I mean, this, you got to get a hold of this. This guy had a sword and he was about to plunge it into himself. We ain't playing. This was for real. I mean, I can just imagine that guy's got the sword. He's about to plunge it. He's just getting the nerve. He's got wife and children, because we find that out later in just a story, but it didn't matter. He knew his life was over. And he says, I might as well just end it right now. And I can just imagine he was getting the nerve just to try to plunge or whatever it is it was going to do. And Paul says, wait, don't do that. Stop. We're still here. We didn't run. We didn't run, even though we had an opportunity to run. We didn't run. We've got a message we want to share. Now, he didn't say it exactly like that, but that's what he was thinking, I bet you. And so the jailer called for lights, rushed in, fell trembling. I mean, this guy was, I mean, can you imagine? He's just almost killed himself, and now he's trembling, and he comes in there before them, and he brought them out, and he says, sirs, notice what it said, what must I do to be saved? In other words, they must have been doing something to let him know he needed to be saved. Okay, because that's the question he asked. He didn't say, sirs, what happened? He says, what must I do to be saved? Because there was an influence. In other words, he says, guys, I've heard you singing when you shouldn't have been singing. You've made me thirsty. I've seen and heard you worship when you shouldn't have been worshiping. I've heard and heard you preach when they told you to stop. That's what you're in here for. I've seen your God act, and I want to see what this is that you have, and I want to know, what must I do to get what you've got? Amen? Praise God. They spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in the house. Oh, let me get back here. This is where I want to go, right here, verse 31. This is what they replied. He said, what must I do to be saved? They replied, believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, and your household. Call upon his name and you will be saved. Call upon this Jesus and he'll change your life. He'll make you into a masterpiece. He'll make you into an overcomer. Amen. He'll make you into an ambassador if you'll just call out to him. And when you know him, you will be the salt. You will be the light. You can't stop it. It just happens. Let me just say this. Some of you guys, maybe you're someone that you have been praying for a long time. Someone you're, and I know how that is. There's someone in your heart, someone you really care about, and you've been praying, and it seems like nothing's happening. You just keep on being that salt. Keep on letting your light shine. Even though sometimes you don't feel like it's making an impact, it is, I promise you. It's making an impact. How many knows how long it takes the light from the sun to get to the earth? Okay, that's about right. What I said was 8 minutes and 20 seconds, to be exact. It takes 8 minutes and 20 seconds from the light of the sun to reach the earth. So if you're looking out at night and you see a star, depending on how far away that star is, they'll say it's like 4.3 light years. In other words, it takes 4.3 years for that star that's 4.3 light years away. It takes 4.3 years for you to actually see that light. It started shining 4.3 years ago, but you're just now getting to where you can see it. Hear what I'm saying? And my point is this, you just keep the light shining. It may take a while to get there, all right? But just keep being who you are, because you are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. How many likes to salt your food? How many does not like bland food? I cannot stand bland food, you know? Sometimes I'll add my salt. Sometimes I come something that's already pre-seasoned. But I got to have some salt, okay? I got to have a little bit. And I know they say, you know, sometimes it's good for you, sometimes it's not. Sometimes it gives you this, sometimes it don't. Whatever, they change every so often. But the fact is, salt's good. Amen. When I go downstairs and there's something that needs salt on it, I'm going to put some salt on it. Amen. Because I need that thing to be seasoned. And that's what we're talking about. That's what you are. You're a seasoning to this world, okay? You're a seasoning. You're something that's pure and something good, you know, in a world that is evil and dark. And that's what people need to see, and that's what the church is all about. We are the salt of the earth. We are the light of the world, and sometimes it takes time. How many of those ladies you cook and you guys that cook, you know, you pour that salt on top, you got to work it in, don't you? I mean, if you want the whole thing to be salt, I mean, you just scoop off the top and you get all the salt. But if you stir it in there, it's going to work its way all the way through. Or if you cook with it, of course, it's going to work its way through there. And that's the same way. Just working it in there. It may not happen overnight. You know, and they believe, as a matter of fact, this very story right here, let me just finish giving it to you real quick. It says, Paul and Silas, they spoke the word of the Lord to this jailer. And all the others in his house. This jailer had literally taken him out of jail and took him to his house. Okay? He was so overwhelmed. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and all his family were baptized. The jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them, and he was filled with joy. I mean, he went from suicidal, about to kill himself, to being filled with joy. Come on now. That's what salt does. Come on. That's what light does. There may be people around you ready to just to say, give it up and throw in the towel, but because you kept shining, because you kept seasoning, now they got some joy and something worth living for. Come on now, that should be worth getting excited about right there. All right, and he says, he was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole family. Praise God, what a story. Amen. And here's the thing, you know, there's a book in the Bible called Philippians, written to the Philippian church. It's believed that because of this one instance right here, that's what birthed that church in Philippi. And when you read the book of Philippians, I believe it's because of this one instance right here, when these guys let their light shine, and they were the salt of the earth, it changed the man and his family's life that was the core, they believe, of that church there in Philippi. When you read the book of Philippians, that's the church they believe started because of this episode right here, this scenario. Praise God. And so just think, you may be going through stuff. I mean, they were beaten, they were getting whipped, they were naked and all this. They were going through stuff, but God used it to birth a church. Come on now, where souls were getting saved. Praise God. And that's the way we've got to look at things. We are the salt of the earth. Jesus didn't say it was going to be easy. He didn't say it was going to be easy. And I'm not going to sit here and tell you it's going to be easy. But I'm telling you, it will be worth it. It will be worth it when we see Jesus. It will be worth it when we get in his presence and we see the impact that we had on this world, not even knowing some of the things that happened. Not for our glory. Jesus said, let your light shine before men so that they may see your good works and what? Glorify your Father in heaven. God created you. He created me to be the salt of the earth, the light of the world. We're to be that Christ-empowered influence in this world. Amen? Amen. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this day you've given us. Lord, during this series, God, we've learned some things that we are ambassadors. Hallelujah. We are overcomers. We are masterpieces in your sight. And Lord, we are salt and we are light to this world. Lord, not that we're going to be that. We already are that because if you're in our heart, that's who we are. And we just naturally reflect who we are. Now, Lord, if there's someone in here today that, Lord, they don't know you. Maybe they're away from you today. Maybe they came into this place today and there's someone here and maybe they're like that jailer. Maybe to them everything is darkness. There's no hope in this world. But, Lord, they see something different and they know there's something different. And maybe they're just here today, Lord, just to see if there's something different. Lord, I am here to declare, Father, in your name that there is something that can give them joy. There's you. Jesus, you will give them joy, and you will fulfill their life. I don't want to say that you will make their life easy and a bed of roses, but I will say this, that, Lord, serving you is the best decision any person will ever make, to have a peace and a strength and an assurance that passes this world's understanding. And if that's you here today, I just want you to be honest with God, just like all of us have come to that place in our lives. But if you know that you need Jesus or you know you just want to recommit your life to the Lord, I want you to raise your hand right now. I want to pray for you. I see that hand. Anybody else? Anyone else? You just want to say, okay, I see that hand. Anybody else? Come on, it's time. Just say, God, I just want to give it to you. I just want to give it to you. I'm going to ask you that raised your hand, just come right up here with me for a moment. I just want to pray with you. Just want to pray with you. Raise your hand. And I'm going to ask a couple of other ladies if you'll come and stand behind these that are coming right now. Praise the Lord. If you raise your hand and you want to, if you're not ready, you didn't mean it, then don't come. But if you meant it, I want you to come right now. Because I'm saying, Jesus, I want to give you my life. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hey, Nikki, your hand, sweetie. I want to lead you in a prayer, okay? Amen. I want you guys to pray with me this prayer to God. We're just going to talk to God right now. So, dear God, I want you to repeat it after me, okay? Dear Lord, you know my heart. I need you. I'm asking you right now to please forgive me of all my sin. Jesus, come into my life. I'm tired of doing it my way. I want to go your way. I give my life to you, Jesus. Come into my heart. Change my life. And make me what you want me to be. I give myself to you. Amen. Father, I just pray for these that have come forward right now. You have heard this prayer. God, you've heard our prayers. I know you have. I believe, God, through these tears that are even being shed right now, God, Lord, you see the tears. You see what's going on in our hearts, God. This was a divine appointment today. God, it wasn't just by coincidence, God, that this day has happened. Lord, you have had this planned. Now, Lord, you didn't force us to make this decision. We made it on our own. And, Lord, you're not going to force us to keep serving you. But, Lord, God, you said you would never leave us or forsake us. So, Father, I pray for these that have come forward today. I pray you will bless them. I pray, Lord, that they will, Lord, develop now this relationship with you one day at a time. I'm not saying it's going to be easy, but, God, I am saying it's going to be worth it. And I know you're going to help them. You're going to lead them. And you're going to, Lord, just to grow them, Lord, into maturity as a Christian. And, Lord, I just thank you for that. And I pray your blessing upon their lives. And we thank you that even now, Lord, according to your word, that their names are being written down in the Lamb's book of life in heaven. Lord, right now you've said angel, I want you to go over to the book. I've got a new name I need you to put in there. Right now, God, according to your word, that's what's happening. A new name's being written down. Some new names. And Father, we're so grateful. And we give you the praise. And we thank you that now, even though we can't see it, your word tells us that even now in heaven, there's rejoicing going on. There's rejoicing going on. Jesus, you're rejoicing because you're saying, you're seeing another one that's come into the family. Another one that's giving their heart to you. And you're rejoicing. You're saying, oh, it was worth it. It was worth the pain. It was worth the cross. It was worth being killed and raised from the dead. It was worth it all because of these precious ones that have come and given their hearts to me. So, Lord, I thank you for that. And I pray you just keep your hand upon them and help us as a church, God, to be a blessing to them and them to us. It's not just one way, God. It's a two-way deal, Lord God. And I just pray for your strength and help in their lives. And just celebrate, Lord, with you in Jesus' name. Can we give the Lord just a hand clap of praise? Amen. Thank you, Father. Amen. Amen. God bless you, girl.